Say that name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name, Lord. Oh, glorious things of thee are spoken. Glorious things of thee are sung. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now, Lord Jesus, we pray that you'll grace us with your sweet insights as we share the word of our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Wonderful. Oh, glorious. Boy, I could just take a day of this. Amen. Well, let me ask you to open your Bibles this morning, please, to the third chapter of the Gospel of John. I stand here with this beautiful poinsettia in front of me, and I'm appalled that the vast majority of the people in this world think that that could happen by accident. That something like this could just evolve. Something so gorgeous, so lovely. No. All of these things came from the hand of a loving Heavenly Father. And so today, as we think about Christmas and the coming of the Lord Jesus, I thought we would take a passage from this very familiar third chapter of John, where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about the new birth, and share from it God's purpose and God's plan. You know, much of the world does not really understand the condition that they are in, because the church has sent confusion into the world. And I really would like to try to straighten that out, at least for us today. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. For God so loved the world. Everybody say the world.
World.
See, God didn't love just the church, just the Christian. God loved the world, and everybody was in it. He loved the black man, the yellow man, the green man, the red man, the white man, the brown man, and everyone in between. He loved the woman. He loved the bright man. He loved the man that wasn't so quite so bright. He loves the mentally retarded. He loves the cripple. He loves the broken, and he loves the whole. He loves the entire world. He so loved the world. How much did God love the world? That he sent and gave his only begotten Son. What's his name? Jesus. That whosoever, everybody say whosoever. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, these are the words of Jesus about himself. Now, verse 17, watch this. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. See, God's purpose in sending his Son was not to condemn the world. The word condemn means to judge or to pass sentence upon. God did not send his Son to the world to pass sentence upon the world or to condemn it to eternal death. That is not why Jesus came. Rather, he said, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, what does that say about the world before he came? It says that the whole world needed saving. It did not need condemned. We're going to find out in just a moment, it was already condemned. Every person who was alive at that time was condemned. Do you know that when you come into this world, you come in a condemned condition? David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. The Bible teaches us, I'll share a couple of scriptures in just a moment, that in order to qualify for spiritual and eternal death, all you have to be is born. All you have to be is a human being after the seed of Adam. 2 Corinthians, turn with me there just a moment. Hold your finger in John, we'll be back. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul is describing his motivation for ministry. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, he describes himself in the 13th verse. He says, if I'm crazy, it is unto God that I'm crazy. Verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, it drives us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, that would be whom? Jesus, then all were dead. I mean, if Jesus died for every man, then what does that say about every man? He was dead and he needed saved. Isn't that what it says? If one died for all, then we can assume that all were dead. Look at Romans chapter number 5. And this says it even more clearly. Romans 5 and verse number 18. It's important for us to understand that the world did not need to be condemned. It already was. Verse 18 in Romans 5, Paul writes, therefore, as by the offense of one, and if you read the context here, you understand that he's talking about Adam, the first Adam, the Adam that God created in the garden way back in the beginning in Genesis. As by the offense of one, by Adam's sin, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. If you're a child that came from Adam's strain, you are under condemnation. It's that simple. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the second Adam, Jesus, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now, the point here is that God did not send his son to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. It was already in a dead condition. The reason Jesus came was not to tell everybody how dead they were. The reason Jesus came was to bring life in the presence of that death. And the message of Christmas is not judgment, but salvation. Back to John chapter 3 again. Verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. It didn't need to be condemned. It was already in darkness. It was already rotten. It was already sentenced to eternal death. And without the intervention of a loving Heavenly Father, without the intervention of a loving Creator, the whole world was on the way to hell in a handbasket, if I can say it like that. And had it not been for God's intervention, that's exactly where it would have wound up. And that includes you, and it includes me. But Jesus said that the world through him, that is through the Son, might be saved, might be rescued from that judgment, rescued from that condemnation. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But watch this. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Now, what does that say about the message of the church? The church has historically concentrated on telling everybody how condemned they were. The Word of God, the words of Jesus himself, says that the person who doesn't believe is already condemned. It's not something that he's facing in the future. It's something that he's facing in the present. We have this picture of God. He's up there in heaven. And there's a day when every man is going to appear before him. And he's going to say to one, well, you're not condemned, but I condemn you. In the church, hundreds, thousands of Christians have this idea that God is the great judge and that he's going to pronounce judgment and condemnation on those that are not among his family. But that's not what's going to happen. That has already taken place. The people who are going to hell today, do you know that today in this world, there are men and women, boys and girls who are going to die and go to hell? Do you know that? Do you know why? It is not because God's sending them there. They were already on the way. They were already destined for that. They were already condemned. As was every man. God sent his Son so that some might hear the truth and believe and be saved from that. You know, God doesn't send anybody to hell. Men send themselves. Let me show you. Turn to Titus with me just a moment. And see if you can find the third chapter of Titus. And once you've found the third chapter, find the 10th and 11th verses. Now, this is not talking specifically about going to hell, but it does talk about the principle that I'm referencing today. And because it is so clear in terms of establishing the principle, I want to share it with you. A man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. You see that? Being condemned of himself. Those who go to hell go there by refusing to accept the rescue. Now turn back with me to the Gospel of John again and find the 12th chapter of John. Jesus speaks very clearly about this. John chapter 12. In verse number 47. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. You see that? He says, I don't judge him. Even though he has rejected my words and refuses to believe what I told him and refuses to believe me, I do not judge him. That couldn't be any more clear, could it? I'm not his judge. For I came not to judge the world, but to save it. Now, the word judge here in the Greek is the same word as we see elsewhere, condemn. I didn't come to judge the world. I did not come to condemn the world, but I came to do what? To save it, because it was already in a condemned condition. It was already in a judged condition. It was judged to be wicked. Verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. What word? What word will judge him? The word that he spoke, he that believes on me shall not be condemned. But he that believeth not is already condemned. Now let's go back to John 3 again. It's important for us to know this as we're dealing with those around us who are lost. If you are here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ in a personal way, if you have not decided to believe on him for your eternal future, you are already condemned. You are already judged, and you are already sentenced to an eternal death and an eternal separation from God. God doesn't have to do anything at all about that. You did it and did it to yourself. And the reason that you're in that condition is because you have rejected the offer of his salvation. Now, I've used this example in the past, and I want to use it again because it is so clear. I believe God gave me this as an example, as an illustration. If we are out together in very deep water on a boat, and you don't know how to swim, and you jump and you fall overboard, and you are out there in the water and you know that you're going down, you're lost, aren't you? Now suppose I throw you a life preserver and you say you refuse to take it. I throw you the life preserver, I've got a rope on it. If you grab it, I'll pull you back into the boat and you will be saved. But you say, I'm just not quite ready to accept this life preserver. Or you say, I don't like a white life preserver, I want a green one. Or you say, this one is dirty. It's got some blood on it. It's got some filth on it. Somebody spit on it. I don't want that kind of a savior. I want one that's nice and clean. I want one that just came out of the package. You know what's going to happen to you? You're going to drown. You're going down. But is it my fault? Did I sentence you to the deep? You sentenced yourself. And the reason you're going down is because you have refused the salvation that was freely offered. And that is the condition today of the unbeliever. The whole world was drowning. God throws out a life preserver. His name is Jesus. He came in the form of a tiny baby. And men say, I just don't believe that that's an effective Savior. I don't believe that this life preserver will preserve my life. And so I reject it. Down they go, but it's not God's responsibility. It's God, not His doing, and it is not His fault. Jesus said, God didn't throw me into the water to cause you to drown. God threw me into the water because you were already drowning, and He threw me into your ocean so that you could be saved. But you've got to grab a hold of me. You've got to believe on me. If you don't, you're a dead man. Now, I don't have to do anything at all. If you and I are out at sea, I don't have to do anything at all to cause you to die. You're going to kill yourself. Because you refuse the offer of deliverance. And that is the condition of the world. It's been the condition of the world ever since the day of Adam. Ever since the day in the garden when he listened to his wife and ate of the fruit. Jesus said, "He that believeth on him, the Son, is not condemned." Hallelujah. I want to raise my hand and shout, glory to God, I am not condemned. Glory to God, I'm not judged. Hallelujah, I'm not sentenced to eternal death. I was on the way there, but I grabbed the life preserver. I'm delivered now, and I am free from the condemnation of death. On the other hand, he that believeth not is drowned already. Is condemned already. Why is he condemned? Is he condemned? Now listen to this very carefully, beloved. This is so very important. Is he condemned because he's a heavy smoker? Is he condemned because he runs around on his wife? Is he condemned because he robbed a bank? Is he condemned because he cheated on his income taxes? Is he condemned because he's a drug addict or a prostitute? No, he's condemned only for one reason, and what is that reason? He's condemned because of his unbelief. He's condemned because he refused. I don't ask the man when I throw out the life preserver, are you a smoker? I see he's drowning. Good God, he's going to die if I don't send him out some way to help him. I don't ask him if he's a drug addict. I throw him the life preserver. I don't care. I love him, and I want him to be saved. And that's exactly what your heavenly Father did. That's exactly what God did. He doesn't ask, are you a smoker? Do you run around your wife? Do you use bad language and so on? He says, here's my son. Believe on him. Just believe on him. I'll change you. I'll deliver you from your condemnation, and then I'll go to work on you, and I'll make you like one of my family. He's condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now hold your finger there, we're coming back, but let's go to Romans chapter 8. I believe God Almighty wants us to understand what Christmas is all about. What he was doing here. He was dealing with a world filled with people who were already destined for the lake of fire. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. Everybody say, no condemnation. No condemnation. Does someone want to stand up and shout right here? There is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment, no sentence. To who? To who? To those which are in Christ Jesus. Is there anybody here today who is in Christ Jesus? Yes. Amen. You're not condemned. You're not sentenced. You're not judged. You are, on the other hand, saved. Saved. You are delivered. You are freed from that sentence. Who walk or who live, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Does that mean that a man's got to live perfectly in order to be saved? If it did, none of us would ever make it, would it? Would we? We're saved by our faith. We stay saved by our faith. It's Jesus who broke the way for us, and it's Him that continues to hold the way for us. We live not after the flesh, but we live after the Spirit. It's our desire to be like Him. It is our desire to walk with Him. It is our desire to have fellowship with Him. We don't walk the aisle one day when we're 6 years old and say, "Yeah, Jesus, I take you as my Savior," and then we live like a hellion for the rest of our lives and think that that's salvation. That isn't salvation at all. The world's full of people like that too. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, believing on Jesus will give you life, and it makes us free from the law of sin and death. See, the law of sin and death is already operating on us when we're born. If you've got a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister, a son, a daughter, an aunt, an uncle, a grandmother, a grandfather, if they are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the law of sin and death is on them. Now, I know that that's not good news, but you might as well know the truth. And then you'll know how to pray, and then you'll know how to minister, and you'll know how to witness. The law of sin and death. What law is that? That is the law that we're born under. You know what a law is? A law is something that always happens. It's like the law of gravity. If I do this, just drop this, you know what will happen, don't you? It'll fall. Why? Because gravity's a law. There's a law of sin and death. That's the law that we're born under. We're born to sin, and we are born as a result of that to die. And it is the law of life in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ that sets me free from that law. And it's just as powerful as if another law were to come along and grab this book and keep it from falling. In fact, that's exactly what's happening. Do you know what that law is? That's the law of my hand under it. That's why it doesn't fall. The law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ is a law that is stronger than the law of sin and death. Those who believe in Him partake of that law, and He grants life. Let's go back to John 3 again. John chapter 3. Verse 19. Now watch this. This is how people confirm that judgment is already upon them. This is how lost people confirm that they are already under sentence of eternal death. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. What is it that Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying that those who are under the sentence of death confirm that sentence because they turn away from the light, because they realize that their own deeds are evil and need darkness in order to carry them out. People go to hell because they condemn themselves. People go to the lake of fire because they refuse to live in the light that God sent. Jesus did not come to sentence, but to deliver and to save. Now I want you to turn to the passage that Amy read for us this morning, the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Now, when you understand what we have just shared, the announcement of the angel becomes so clear. Do you know that much of our world does not understand that the message of Jesus is good news? Much of our world thinks the message of Jesus is bad news. It's bad news. Why is it bad news? It's bad news because he doesn't want me to do this, and he doesn't want me to do that, and he doesn't want me to do this, and he doesn't want me to do that. He wants to take all my fun away. It's bad news. Don't talk to me about this Jesus. It's bad news. What did the angel say? Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news. I bring you good news. What is that good news? The good news is you're already dead. I came to give you life. I didn't come to take things away from you. I came to give you things. I came to bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a judge. What? Not a judge. Not a judge, but a deliverer. That's why it's good news. It's good news because he came not to condemn us. He came not to take things away from us. He came not to rob from us or to steal from us, not to get anything from us. That's why it's good news. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He is the Messiah, and he is God Almighty. He's Christ, the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we need to have this so settled in our hearts that we are never again confused. That we never perceive ourselves or ever let anyone else believe that you are this awesome judge and that you are just waiting to condemn. You're just waiting to get anybody who doesn't do right. When that's not at all how you are, that's not at all your nature or your character. It must break your heart to see those who are on a fast train to hell and on a fast train to eternal damnation. It must break your heart to realize that you have provided a means for them to be delivered from that. And they won't have it. They refuse it. We see, Father, that you did not condemn the world. The world condemned itself. You are the Savior, not the condemner. I pray, Father, that if there's anyone in this auditorium this morning, in this worship center, who has not yet come to the place where they have given their hearts and lives, trusted in and believed in your Son, that they will see today that there's no hope for them apart from that faith, from that believing. That judgment and eternal sentence is their inheritance and their destiny until they are willing to stand and say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I take you as my Savior. I ask you to accept me and just receive me in the condition that I am in. I'm not worthy. I know that. But I want to belong to you, and I want to be a child of God, and I want to have you in my life. I want to be free from the law of sin that drives me and the law of death that awaits me. Set me free, Jesus, by the law of the Spirit of life in your name. I give you myself today. I surrender myself to you, Lord, and I accept you as my Savior and acknowledge you as my King. Beloved, that's all it takes. And that's how we escape eternal judgment. Draw each of us, Lord, close to your heart. close to your love. Draw us to a personal relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We were singing this morning, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and I noticed the line in the second verse, born that man no more may die. Born that man may no more die. Man, all men are going to die except those who accept Jesus. He was born so that men on the road to eternal death would not have to walk it. Amen. Well, I believe we're going to close the service with O Come All You Faithful. You want to lead us with that? Yes, sir, brother?
I need to give God for education.
Yes?
I need to do it.
Yes, do so then.
Listen to this message. I just want to praise God for his love for us, how much he loves us. It's overwhelming, but it seems with my younger son, David, that one of the ways God does love us is with his guardian angels and the way they're all about us, even while we sleep and rest, that they're looking out over us. It seems to my young son, David, they're working kind of time and a half and working overtime. He was on the way to Georgia last night. He was one of two baseball players that was asked to represent him this weekend at a Fellowship of Christian Athletes retreat up in North Carolina. He'll be up there for 3 days witnessing to high school students, leading Bible study. And
runs into family here,
yeah.
I think, brother.
He was on the way to school last night, and I encouraged him to go up early because they had to leave real early this morning. So I encouraged him to go on up to school last night and take his time and get a good night's rest so he could go on this morning. On the way up there last night, a fox or a coyote, he said a coyote after he went back and checked, a fox. But anyway, he said he never knew what happened, ran out in front of him. And he just saw it out the corner of his eye and got up under his front end, ran and locked his wheel up. And he said he did a 360. And the next thing he knew, he was in oncoming traffic coming the other way. He jerked his wheel real quick. He went through a sign of some sort into an embankment. He was a little sore last night when I talked to him, and a little scared and shook up, but he was very excited. And I just had to praise God this morning for watching over David and know that he's going to use him this weekend. Doesn't matter what the devil does against David, that God's standing with him. I just had to get up and praise him.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Tim's greatest Christmas present I could have this morning is that little girl sitting there with me. 2 weeks ago, she went over the side of a mountain in North Georgia, and her mother couldn't get out of the truck. The vehicle was total, and you know, Satan's always trying to kill us anyway. But like Jim said, Psalm 91, I pray that over my family all the time. And he had his angel there because this little girl went up the side of the mountain for help, and she's carrying stitches in her right thigh. And there was an angel down the road that heard the crash and came with a cellular phone and called 911. And I think she had already gone into shock. But I'm thankful she's here. That's the greatest Christmas
Amen.
Present I could ever have.
Amen. Glory. In how many ways does he show us his love? In how many ways does he show us his tender watch care? Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. And I hope that our children, sweetheart, I hope you understand how blessed you are to have a daddy who loves God and who will pray for you and who will stand in the midst of the people of God and declare his goodness. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Don't miss Wednesday night. Glory. It's wonderful being a Christian. It's just wonderful. It's just wonderful to know Jesus in a personal way and to not have any fear about the future and not to have any uncertainty about the future, to have a confidence and a boldness for the days that are ahead.